Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast, also known as the Markies Only Go Up show. I'm your host, Kyle. Joining this week's roundtable, we've got Flary and Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga. Tonight, we're going to be discussing trading on Fridays and the master trader's mindset, what that looks like to each of us and how we try to step into that. After that, we'll sum up our past week in the good, bad, and ugly before wrapping up with some new bold predictions. Before we check in on last week's results, let's get that self-promotion stuff out of the way. Baba, you got anything new you want to report?
So we had the stream today with the Trade Pro Academy guys. It was a good time, guys and gals out there, and it was super fun. We had a couple technical issues, so if anybody joined and was like, I can't hear anything, we're working on helping figure out a solution for that. There's just a lot of things going on, but we hope, I guess the news is, we hope to kind of maybe make that some type of a regular thing.
I hope so, because that was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Varying approaches to the market. We still have a lot of overlap, obviously, but it was just cool to kind of be doing something in a different environment with those guys. So maybe some kind of regular rotation of doing something like that, either with those guys or other people on Fridays.
Yeah, I love that, man. Yeah, more points of view is always a good thing. It's good to get exposure.
Is that somewhere where I can go back and watch it, or is it on their YouTube, or is there that Zoom link?
It's on their YouTube account. Yeah, it's if you go to the Trade Pro Academy YouTube channel and click on live, it should be the one from today. Although, like I said, I kind of sounded like I was across the room speaking through a microphone, like through a speakerphone on a cell phone. But
I'll put a link to that in the episode description so people can check it out. Flary, what's Rare Barrel got going on this week?
I don't know. I haven't been over to the Bourbon Basement here for a while, so probably need to catch back up.
I saw they were out somewhere doing something last week, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they went to, I had to skip this because it was FOMC, but they went to like a barrel factory where like you can go and like pick out different barrels, and then like you basically buy this barrel and then you can send it somewhere and then they would fill it, and then like you kind of like create your own, you know, whatever. And I'm probably butchering what they did, but some version of a tour for a potential project where, you know, there could be a Rare Barrel bar/restaurant or something in the works. You know, you just never know.
What, really?
You just never know.
That'd be cool. I still got to figure out when I can get up there so you guys can teach me what whiskeys to like.
Oh, man. Dude, that would be great. Like, we do a podcast. I mean, they have a whole studio and everything. Obviously, I used to office out of there, so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out when I can make the trip up there, because I do want to try that out. It's been a while since I got sloshed on camera.
Play some poker, drink some bourbon, drink some whiskey, drink some tequila. Let's go. Do a podcast, a live evening podcast. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I can think of a few things. All right, for the show, for the podcast, we've got on Thursday the next installment of our Economics for Traders miniseries featuring Eric Mason. And if you do not think that there's any value in understanding macro, I think Eric makes some pretty good counter arguments in that one. So definitely worth checking those out. As always, if you have any questions or suggestions for future guests, or if you just want to gloat about a great trade, you can do that via Twitter at FinancialInept1, or you can join the Discord and slide into our DMs. And you can always visit Band of Traders Podcast to browse the guest directory and check out the deals and discounts we've collected over the years. All right, I've got that out of the way. Let's check in with last week's predictions. So Banks says no rate cuts till June. That one's still looking good. I said Baba would have his best month since turning pro. I think that one's actually looking decent, according to the week you just had. Somebody said this shit ain't going higher. I think that was you, Flurry.
I mean, it really didn't.
It didn't really, no. Somebody said 18,225 trades before the sell-off. I think that was yours, Baba.
That's right.
And someone in the chat, I think it was Purdue, said that the weekly close would be above 350. And I think we just missed on everything.
Well, it depends on whether you think the sell-off is still to come, Kyle.
I know, right? Well, it was for this week, right?
Well, I mean, the sell-off of 220 or 225. Dang it, hold on. Yeah, I was looking at 325. Well, I mean, 225 gave him a couple of opportunities. It did, it did.
I think we actually took that trade on Wednesday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
What was the weekly candle? I guess it went up 200 points this week. I mean, that doesn't really count. 200 points?
It didn't really do much. Yeah,
it's like not even a daily, a 5-day ATR.
Yeah, even today, like the sell off today. I mean, it wasn't that far. Like, wasn't
right.
It was not. I mean, it was dramatic, but it was like, come on, guys.
It felt dramatic, but that's just because the markets have been stuck in like 60-point ranges for the last week.
Yeah,
they're just softening everybody up a little bit.
They're just tricking. They're teaching everybody to buy the dips, and then they're just going to rug pull that thing into oblivion. All right, we'll have some new bold predictions at the end of the show, but first I think it's time to get into topic number one. And so this is one that we talk about quite a bit on the Friday streams. I know that I think Pax likes to talk about protecting yourself on Fridays. Baba, you like to talk about that too. I just kind of want to talk to the group here and see what you guys is like, how you approach trading on a Friday. Does anything change to you? Is it important for you to end the week on a high note? Like, because that's something that like I am very keen on trying to do. I don't want to be stewing over the weekend over a bunch of shitty decisions I made on a Friday. Like, it's much easier when you can like wake up the next morning and go, you know, hit another trade and wipe the slate clean. When you got to think about it for 2 days, that can kind of weigh on you.
Purgatory.
So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts. Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, my after today, I don't know, my thoughts might be changing. But that's pretty strong recency bias. Yeah, I mean, I think Fridays, I would say now the temptation is not as much. But I think the challenge for most folks is that if the week has been so-so, the attitude on Friday is like, all right, today's the day. You know, last day of the week, we're going to make it happen. And so I think that adjusted perspective on what you're trying to make happen on Friday, when you come at it from that attitude, you've already left like the principles that would make you profitable anyways.
That's a great point. There's also the other side of it too, where you've had a good week coming into a Friday and then you just,
and you think you're invincible. Yeah. I mean, maybe. I've had some Fridays that went sideways for sure, so let me say this: my attitude about Fridays was data driven.
Mm-hmm.
So like last, I guess in Flurry, it was last January when we were trading together every day. I just looked at my stats over the last quarter of the prior year, so of 20, that would be 2022, mm-hmm. and I noticed that Mondays and Fridays were just not as good a days for me.
Right.
So there was two options there. Like option A is like the ranges, maybe they're smaller, or maybe I get loose and wild, or maybe there's some market mechanics unfolding on Mondays and Fridays that don't play to my strengths, or maybe I don't have enough information on what's going on during the week to really lean in or whatever. So I'm kind of going on like half cocked, like not quite loaded. I don't know what it actually was, to be honest. I really didn't even try to put my finger on it. I just, the quick and easy fix last year was like, I just decided I would trade smaller size on Mondays and Fridays. As that year went on, I pretty well stuck to that for most of the year. I mean, there was occasionally a Friday looked really good, or a Monday like looked really good, or we got on like the business side of a really good day type for like letting something go. But a lot of times on Fridays, I like to finish earlier too. It's like a reward. Like, oh, let's get done. Let's bang the first easy trade and be done. You've been a part of many, many of those. Both of y'all have, right?
Yeah. So like, good enough.
That's a good Friday. I mean, it feels good just to smack it, be done by 10, 15 or 10 o'clock and then like do what you want. Like, you know, go play golf or just kick, go do something else. Like get off the screens. We worked hard for 4 days, but the decision was data driven. And I would say lately I haven't thought as much about it. What I did start doing is like trading like those, some of those top step XFAs and stuff on Mondays. because like, it's $5, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
So Mondays and Fridays had been a time for some of that trading. And then I had traded smaller. I mentioned today because I didn't really, I came into today, just, I didn't really think much about it. I just traded today because the setup coming into the open for me was pretty close to A+. I just traded it with size like a Tuesday or Wednesday because, I mean, it was like, this is what you want to, this is it. Like, who cares if it's Friday? I'm buying this here. And then as soon as I get a signal that looks strong, I'm adding to it. And then if we go up more, I'm adding to it again. I was in bigger position coming into the morning move or whatever at times. And then the sell-off was in even more a couple times than a normal day. But it was when it's going easy, you just let it go.
Yep. I like that. Pro Shots saying your trading track volatility near perfect for that time period. Mondays, low volume, typically widest range on VIX. Friday is medium average and lotto plays. Okay, that makes sense.
I like that.
What are your thoughts, Blair? Because you're kind of the opposite camp. You're more of the take every day the same kind of approach, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the setup's there, the setup's there. I mean, to some extent, I will say this. Like, whether you want to call it capital preservation or just like, you know, whatever. You're just playing smaller size or what, you know, whatever your version of like defense on Friday is. Because that's what it is, right? Like, it's defense. I do... You know, from personal experience or whatever, ask me how I know. it sucks to get your ass handed to you on Friday. Like, there's just like something extra painful about wearing that through the weekend. And like, especially when you go hit the charts, you know, whether you do it Sunday night or Saturday morning or whatever you do, it's just like you go back and you look and you're like, golly, like, you know. It's just like, it's just not fun. So like losing a lot is not fun on Fridays. You know, I don't mind like, you know, taking a, you know, whatever, a setup and taking a loss and like just having a red day on Friday. But like losing a lot on Friday is really bad. I think like, so for me, it's like that, like don't like fight the good fight on Friday. Just, you know, whatever. You know, like a Tuesday, you know, like, all right, let's get in the trenches. We'll take this thing bell to bell and, you know, see if we can dig out of this as long as the setups are good, right? And the market's moving. Friday is just not that day. So I think from that perspective, like I would hate to go into the weekend. Like, dude, you don't want to blow your account on a Friday. Like, there's nothing worse. You don't want to lose like more than like, you know, whatever, like three or, you know, five average green days on a Friday, because it stings, and you know, like basically you're coming back to work the next week to make up for what you did on Friday. Like, it's just like, it's a more of a mindset thing for coming back on Monday, and like the lack of being able to enjoy what is sort of like the time away from the screens and stuff like that. You know, it's your days off or whatever.
See, I think that's the key for me. There is it's more important for me to not do anything stupid on Friday, so that way I don't have to have that hanging over my head for the rest of the weekend. Because like you said, it's really hard to forget about that. That's going to be on the front of your mind every time you pull up a chart, every time you think about anything when you go through reviewing. Like, that's going to be front and center, and it's hard to recover from that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to do anything stupid on a Tuesday either, right? You know, I mean, it's just like like losing your ass on a Tuesday is much different than losing your ass on a Friday. Like, it's just, you know, when you can come back tomorrow, you know, like fresh, ready to get back on the horse, like whatever, like, oh, you know what? Fine. I made some mistakes yesterday. Like, here we are. I'm here. I'm prepared. It's Wednesday. I'm ready to go. On Friday, you're just like, man, what the fuck did I do? So anyways, like I don't do much different except for like if it gets to that, like if the needle starts kind of tipping that way, I'm just a little bit more prone to like, you know, just like take it, you know, you take your L and you just kind of move on. Mm-hmm. Or just like not fish for more setups or like wait and watch the market to see if something sets up later on. But as far as like the approach goes, like, you know, today is a good example, you know, A plus setups on the open, a handful of things that, you know, I was personally looking for, basically, you know, continuation that the opening range high was literally like the Leroy up or the Delta continuation up, whatever you want to call it. It was literally the opening range high. So it just like the Leroy in the opening range is just not to be fucked with. It goes 75 points, 60 something percent of the time. And it went like 73.5 points, mm-hmm. in 19 minutes, and I traded for 19 minutes. So, you know, it just is what it is, right? Right? Like, you know, so like my approach is, it's the same, but like I tend to be like a, like in and out, like just hit it and quit it. If I get 60% of the range, 40% of the range, or an A plus setup that goes to expectancy, like especially that quick, on Fridays, you know, it's just an excuse to pour a drink that much earlier, you know, or just start the weekend, whatever you do. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, like if it was a Tuesday, you know, maybe you're around to see what the counter rotation looks like. Like I actually thought 349 was a great short, mm-hmm. but I just, you know, pop some popcorn and see if anybody in, you know, hanging out is taking that short. And yeah, I mean, did it go lower or further than, you know, the pop out of the OR? Sure. Do I care? Nope. Not at all.
You're right.
So, I mean, that's just like my approach doesn't necessarily change, but I am sort of like more hyper aware of like how much it sucks emotionally to come back on Monday, you know, getting handed to on Friday. Like, it's just not fun. So, you know, maybe some version of defense for like, all right, took my trade, didn't work, took my trade, didn't work, took my trade, didn't work. It's like, yeah, all right. Like, you know, let's take the L and move on so that Monday's not some like, like in the back of my mind, I feel like I have to, you know, do A, B, or C, and you know, it's just a bad place to start the week. So
sounds like Friday is just more of a, if it's going to give it to you, great. If not, I'm just going to turn it off and we'll come back next week. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I'll sit and wait as long as they make me wait. Right. But like, mm-hmm. if the setup sets up and it just does its thing, you know, like it did today, 19 minutes, see you later. It's all you need. You know, one good trade on a Friday. Whereas like, you know, again, if it's FOMC Wednesday, right? Like you're sticking around, right? You're not right. going to just like, you're not going to take one and done and then like, you know, not watch, you know, some of the stuff. So anyways, yeah, but I think that's fine to approach a day based on stats, based on, you know, especially like yeah. historical, like P&L equity trading, equity curve trading. Like, I think that's totally fine to do. Especially if you know that like when you come back on Monday, like if you lose on Friday, like, I think a good stat to look at would be like, if I have a red day Friday, how often is my Monday a red day? Like if that answer is like consistent, then yeah, you know, I mean, do some version of defense for Friday. But you know, at the end of the day, you should be trying to get over that, right? Like that's not like, you shouldn't just be like band-aiding Friday.
Well, that's why I like what Baba did, because he didn't just cut Mondays and Fridays out when he looked at those stats. He sized down and started trading micros instead. Like you started taking like half position sizes, right, Baba?
Well, yeah, less than half, like a quarter.
Right. But that still allowed you to work through that and try to figure out what's different about those days. Yeah. And
yeah.
Rather than just avoiding it completely.
Yeah. I mean, and I think some of the, I mean, look, we're all evolving and growing. Hopefully you're growing and seeing some progress, or if you're not, then you're going through growing pains and you're probably trying to exercise some demon, you know, that's like tearing you up every time you trade or whatever. And so we've all been there, been through that, are going through that, whatever. I'd like to think that, you know, as I begin to be more and more comfortable holding the market to a high standard, meaning like it's got to jump through my hoops. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I force my will on it, but that I just am becoming more and more comfortable knowing what I really want to see and when and where I want to see it. And I think that to an extent that would that would probably show in my performance on Mondays and Fridays as well. Like, they probably are better. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked that much at, I looked at like quarter, I didn't look much at quarter one because most of it was frustrating, but of this year. But so, you know, it's part of the process, I think, of learning to just like lean into the things that make really good sense. On a Friday, there's probably no reason to lean into anything if something you don't, if you don't have precedent for what's happening. I think that's the biggest thing. So, you know, I think ProShot's point about Monday's lower volume, it's interesting. We did a bunch of studies on days that, like day of the week types when compared to the prior day. So take Monday compared to Friday. What percentage of Mondays trade higher than Friday's high? What percentage of Mondays trade lower than Friday's high? What percentage of Mondays trade inside Friday's range? And those statistics, like, if you know, you look at them, they're pretty easy to pull. And that can help. I think that kind of information can also help with what maybe what setups make sense on that day, generally speaking. Obviously, every day is unique, but you know, if there are some patterns that make sense, like I have a strong breakout trade setup on a day that typically doesn't, you know, trade higher than the prior day's high, probably don't lean into that one with all you've got on a day that's like that historically, right? But if it's the, what were those days? Like, it's, there's like 3 days of the month over the last 6 years. I'd have to go look again. There's 3 days of the month that historically have a much wider range than any of the other days of the month. And so if you have a trade, you know, something that has a larger expectancy and it sets up on a day like that, well then who cares if it's, if it happens to be a Friday, just take the dang trade.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But don't try, but I think the bigger thing is trying to make something happen. Like, oh, I've had a terrible week, I'm going to get it all back today. Or I've had a great week, I'm going to double it today. Or I'm going to, you know, those deals that, you know, I've made in the past. All right, I'm up this many points on the week, so I'm going to trade this much more size and be okay with losing half of it. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I don't really think I was okay with losing half of it. Like on the random time that you lose half of it, you're like, oh, that's, well, it wasn't quite the right idea.
I think you make a great point there, though. The difference between Monday and Friday from the rest of the week is that we carry a lot of different expectations into those days. And anytime we're carrying expectations in, that's when you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, today, like, being that, you know, you're kind of going to go, you know, sling some contracts with two people you don't know that well in front of a whole lot of people that you don't know that well, that don't know you that well. I don't know how many people are on their Zoom calls, but
I'll tell you, when they do their polls, all the numbers have weird decimal fractions to them.
Oh, wow.
For like the four different choices. So that means there's a pretty decent number of people in there.
Oh, well. So I was thinking this morning, like, you know, I was thinking it's a Friday, you know, I'm still going to be chill and whatever. But like this morning when I was getting ready, I was just thinking, like, I just want to make sure I stick to my guns, you know. I don't want to go out here and try to do something that I'm not comfortable with. I'm just going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to trade my like whatever setups I get. And, you know, I think the worst thing I could do is not hold the market to a really high standard. And I think that's some language that I'm just starting to repeat a lot and say often. And I think it just comes from just the, like a lot of the work that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, of just the stats and the numbers and the trade setups and reviewing charts and reviewing trades and all that stuff. And you look at things and you go, like, that did not, you know, that did not jump through the hoop, but yet I still hitched my wagon to it. That's silly.
Right, right.
And that, I think the focus, I was just insanely focused today on that over like everything. And then especially earlier in the, before the open, when kind of a clean setup that I like set up, that was just, I was like, well, this is going to be like a great start to the day. Cause I figured the trade would expire. Like, I figured I'd get to targets off and be flat and already be up, you know, a chunk of points. And then we start that's like a easy way to trade on any day when you start off with a big buffer. And then the trade just kept running. And, you know, then we had a chance to add, and then I had a chance to get flat and then re-enter and then do it again for part of it. And, you know, I was just like, wow, you know, I didn't really do anything differently. But I think the thing was, I didn't come to today going, I need to make a significant amount of points. I didn't come to today thinking, oh, I'm going to make my week really awesome today. I didn't come to today thinking I'm going to make my day, I'm going to make my week awful. I just, you know, really leaned into what I know. And so I think that expectations thing of what you can make the day, like what you can get out of it, like, oh, I'm going to fix my week today. That's when you start screwing up. And then you have a really bad weekend, right?
Well, I think you're kind of segueing into the next topic here, because you mentioned today that you felt like you stepped into the master trader mindset, as Rich Friesen likes to call it.
Yes.
I just kind of want you to talk about like what that looks like to you, maybe Flary, like whatever your version of that might be when you feel like you're trading in the zone. And then maybe like what you kind of try to do to step into that state. Because it almost sounds like getting yourself in the outside your comfort zone and being on another stream might have been what helped put you into that type of mentality. I noticed that the last time I felt like I really stepped into it was when I was filling in for you and Banks, and I was on stream running the free shop side with Purdue.
Like a boss.
Like it was the same thing. I'm like, fuck, I got to be on point today. I can't be taking stupid trades. Like, let's fucking hit the A plus ones. Let's make sure we're calling things out that look, you know, not just talking gibberish. Like, I felt like I was really on point, but it was that pressure of being on stream that I felt like propelled me to that point.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like game. It's not a great analogy.
I like the coding example that's the way I tried to explain it to Flary off camera.
What's that?
Like when you're writing code, if you're a coder, that probably doesn't apply to many people here, but like it's nothing but you and the screen and the code, and like hours can go by and you're just in that zone and nothing else is bothering you. You're just seeing everything. Everything's making sense. It's just a magical feeling.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was fairly, I mean, like when I finished trading today, I thought, I think I saw the market incredibly well. I think there's two parts to seeing it well, having a good framework to measure it. So how do you interpret the data consistently day after day, week after week, right? Like you have a certain way that you go about that work. So that work was very clear today for me. So that's part of it. And then leaning into that, trusting it was part of it. But then once everything started, like once we started the show, I was already in a trade. I was, you know, already adding to it, whatever. Yeah, I don't know that there was anything conscious I did other than like focus on holding, again, to go back to the same phrase, like holding the market to a high standard. And I was just kind of locked in. Like I knew what I wanted to see. If we pulled back, like I said, that one deep pullback below it was 312s or 306.5. 306.5.
Yeah.
So we took that news, we pulled back to like 306.5. And we pulled deeper than that. We thought like, you know, we need to hold up in the teens, like somewhere down there. Pulled back to like 306.5, pulled a little bit deeper than that. I don't remember how far. You have to be looking at a pretty small time frame to see it. Yeah, whatever it pulled down to, I did have like some conditions there that I was like, oh, well, you know, this could be the... Because the news didn't take that high, and I wanted so badly for the news to just peak that high ever so slightly, and I would have been, yes, I would have been shorter than, you know, something very short.
Shorter than Kevin Hart.
As long as we got a setup there, I would have dove on that. I had already had some short, like, hand tips that the market had shown into that high, and I thought... So I, before news, I took another contract off up there waiting, thinking like now I'm down to a runner, whatever happens, stop to break even. After scales, my entry had been brought up to where I was just sitting on the last runner from the 300s or somewhere right around there anyways. And so, you know, I was like, well, I mean, my stop's there. I'd love to see them sweep this high. I'm only in one, so it'd be easy, close that out. And then if we get any kind of setup, short it. Well, when we pulled down there, I got some conditional, like some condition buys. Like I was like, oh, well, let's see. Maybe we get a buy here. And then I took that with small size. And I was like, if we get back over 304, 302 or whatever that was, if we get above that, I'll add back into a full position. Like I'll put on, I don't know how many I had on actually, six, maybe five or six. I had one on, then 2-2-2 or something like that. And I thought, I'm going to scale these off into the 20s and then get back down to just maybe 2 and take it through the highs. As soon as like we rolled up there, I put those ads on. I didn't get those ads off. As soon as I'm pulling stops up, like very protective. I'm risking a smidgen of points.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I will have the thought, I want this trade to go. Like, I want this to go. I want to scale through this, get off at this swing high. That's what I want to happen. And I can leave those stops down there where I know, like, there's no hope of that. I don't think there's anything there to hold. And we had already talked about, if this thing starts slipping, like, I admit, we talked about it, like, and that's the thing, the high standard. Like, if we start slipping here, this thing could unwind in a hurry, my opinion, like, based on my work, like, what I thought was really likely. Where would I want to even long it would be below, like, I wouldn't even want to be long until below like 250 anyways. And if we didn't sweep 250 and recover, then like she gone. And so it was easy. It was so easy for me just to cut those trades for a smidgen of a loss and be cool with it. I think I took one more long when we got back above 250 with one contract, and I wanted to see us get all the way back up above like 3-something before I bid any more on it.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as that faltered, I flipped that trade and shorted I shorted it, scaled, reshorted, scaled. Like, there was 3 sequences in there. And all of those,
you trade that way better than I did.
And all of those were and I didn't talk a lot about the shorts on stream as we were falling, because it just at that point it felt like it was we've done enough here today that there's no need to continue to, I don't know. I just didn't want to go into, and now I'm piling into shorts. I'm scaling here and piling into more. It just, you know, I don't know. I mean,
that's not beneficial on a stream either.
Yeah,
I
mentioned the criteria for the downside, and then that's really like the decision is for the trader themselves to make if they regard that information as like, oh, that makes sense to me. We had value area high from the week that we were sucking back into. That's a dangerous trade. When we bounce above value area high for a week and when we trade above and then we pull back in on a Friday, that's risque. We also traded above an island week's value area high and point of control, obviously. If we traded above value area high, we traded above point of control and failed. It's like a look above and fail. We also traded above a 3-day balance, looked above and failed. I mentioned all 3 mm-hmm. of those criteria for a swift unwind. Point I'm making on all that is not that I'm a genius. The point I'm making is I allowed that to inform me of like what to do instead of holding on to any glimmer of what I wanted to happen. Because what I wanted to happen is to sweep 50 and short the. I wanted to sweep 50, pull back in, get a short set up, and take it all the way through the range. That's what I wanted. But that's not what I got. I didn't have precedent for that. We didn't even trade 350. We freaking traded. I had an exit. You go back and listen to the stream. Flair, this pissed me off.
Bro, I had an exit at 48. They only did six contracts at 48. I had outs. Macro had outs at 48. And then they sold like fucking 600 lots. I just went, fuck it.
I scaled one. Yeah, I scaled that one off after that.
Literally, there was a cluster at 48. At 48, and I had outs at 48. The Leroy expectancy was 50. The top of the cluster was 63. So I had basically 25% of the position at 48, and the other 25% at the top of the cluster with the Leroy expectancy in the middle, thinking it was going to be fine. Dude, they came up there. They traded like 6 contracts, and they just. I was like, whoa. Nope, not giving this trade up. 60 points in 19 minutes or whatever it was. Like, I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, I had a contract at 48 as well as you did. That's absolutely hilarious. And we traded 48, and I leaned in. I was like, dude, I didn't get filled there. And Vico was like, yeah, they only traded 4 or 6.
I had to look. I was like,
what the freak, man? And then we hung out there for like 5 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this off before I'm – that's good. I'm going to hold
it. Yep. I did the same thing. But that's that Friday, like, you know, to back to whatever, like, that's that Friday mindset of like, yeah, good enough. Like, you ain't going to get me on this. Like,
no, you ain't taking it.
but I'm also not going to take that short either. Like, I think it was a great short, and like, it was in my plan, like 349 short, but like, nope, no thank
well,
you.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I did not jump on the 349, and the lower short was more like the breakdown trade, right? And like, just, you know, just seeing that, like, if it, the only thread of responsiveness that I thought was possible needed to happen pretty quick into that area, or she was really, really gone.
Yeah, for me, when they dipped below that, like, 83, like, when they had that bounce off of the 24-hour VWAP, and then that one broke down, like, to me, that was the end. Like, yep. No, there's no more long on this one.
Yeah, so I think to your master trader mindset, which is a weird thing to say out loud, but that I use that language because it's a common thing. We've been through stuff with Rich, and that's what he uses. I think today, for me, it really, you know, it was a definite accepting what happened.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
It's when Rich talks about it, he always says your thoughts are coming and going. You're not clinging to anything.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's kind of one of the key things that you highlighted there. You had an idea, but you weren't married to it. Like, you let that go as soon as there was reason to let it go.
Yeah, as soon as, and that's the thing, like, whenever, you know, one thing I've noticed, and this is just something to put in note, I noticed it today with trading with the Trade Pro guys. I notice it in banks especially. It's a very common thing to come out of his mouth. I even, sometimes for me, we say things like, the buyers need to really fill in the blank, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. Or the sellers, man, they really need to fill in the blank. And then they will not do that thing. And the result is always like massive the other way. So we actually are often very clear on the demand on the market as it's got to go do this thing. Not it has to because it will make me happy, but like structurally or whatever line of work you're looking at from whatever perspective, you know, like this line in the sand business right here, like there's no playing around. This got to do this right now. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when they don't, you look back in 45 minutes, you're like, oh man, we could have just flipped that idea around and said, if the sellers can hold this, or if the buyers can bid this, then we can keep going or we'll fall. And I think today it was, you know, there was a spot around the 50s or something that Vico said, like, this is like, they got to go here. And we were already looking at that area. We'd already talked about it. And I'm like, there's so much confluence to this. Like, this is just a clear short. It's not buyers they've already screwed up. Like, yeah. it's go time. And so I think
spot can't be below open range low. I don't think.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you know, this is the spot for, this is the place where it's gotta happen. And I think just a letting go of whatever that dominant thing is, like the buyers have to, and just saying this is a pivotal spot. And if I can justify an opportunity here and the risk is right and the setup's there, then you can easily take that. It's like a little nugget I've noticed. Everybody's really good at putting that demand out there, but then holding the market to that standard and allowing that to inform you of what's most likely to unfold in the next couple minutes.
Do you think it might be better to rephrase that instead of saying like bulls need to hold here or else there's going to be a swift unwind? That almost puts like almost puts your mindset as like, I want the bulls to hold here, so they have to hold here.
Well, that's the fine line, right? I think a lot of times I've found myself, I'm sure a lot of people have, going, oh man, this trade is going to be screwed if this doesn't happen.
But I mean, maybe if you're looking at that, instead of saying bulls need to defend here, like there's going to be a fight here, and whoever wins this fight is going to determine like the next whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The next however many points. Like maybe switching the way you think about those spots maybe helps frame you better. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think there's some subconscious stuff in there too, which is why we usually frame it the other way. But yeah, I think that's huge.
What do you think, Flary? What's your master trader mindset look like?
I think just to kind of piggyback off of what you guys were just talking about there, like play by playing the anti-sweat of your position or the like whatever is like such a bad... It's like in some ways you're like encouraging, you know, whether you're doing it on purpose or you're doing it sort of like inadvertently, like you're encouraging your position. You're like, oh, if they don't do this, then this, or we want to see buyers rebid this area or blah, blah, blah. And when that doesn't happen, all of a sudden then you start to get that, like, you know, whatever, that itch to like cover a piece, like, you know, you're no longer sort of in your setup. So I think that's a great example of sort of like the counter definition of this. What are we calling it? The master trader mindset.
That'd be the apprentice trader mindset.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's fine to be watching the market when you're in a trade, like, and doing sort of like a mental play by play, but like sitting there and saying like, man, if they don't get above X, then it's not a good look. Right. And I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing I try to do is then like just take a note on it, right? Like don't do anything unless it's like we talked I think it was last week about the ripcord moments, mm-hmm. right? Like unless it's a ripcord moment, don't do anything. Grab your pen, take your notepad that you hopefully have sitting out there, and take a journal note so that when the trade goes into sort of like some version of a review later on, that you can say, okay, you know, what happened? Oh, we gave up VWAP. Like, I remember when I was first like building like big logs, like I would filter the column in the notes and I would filter it for like VWAP. And it was like trade lost VWAP in way of TP1, trade lost VWAP in the way of TP1, trade lost. And it's like, okay, well, let's stop taking trades when VWAP is in front of TP1. So, you know, like, again, maybe there's some version of the play by play that goes into your notes. And then, you know, the healthy way is to, like, unless there's a ripcord moment, stay in the trade, take good notes, and then you develop potentially a hybrid version of your setup where you adjust expectancy based on a condition change, or maybe it becomes a ripcord moment. But, like, that play-by-play mentality is, like, very bleeding edge. It's so easy to get spooked, like we were talking about last week. Play by playing or anti sweating your trade, because I feel like it's healthy to be like, okay, I want to see, like, you're long and you're like, okay, buyers really need to hold this lower distribution. We've got multi distribution trend day out of the open, opening range OR break, blah blah blah. VWAP's holding. You're all pumped, and then all of a sudden VWAP goes, and you're like, maybe it's not a trend day anymore. Like, what am I gonna do? And you know, so I think that's like relatively healthy. Like, you, like, what are the context clues for me to stay in this trade or potentially add, right? Of course, we want to know that. But like, I know a lot of people who anti-sweat their position, which is like, I just, like, as long as I don't see sellers do this, I'm going to stay long. And then they sell and it's like, well, okay, wow, seller sold, you know, a big push. You know, like, it's going to happen, right? 100 lot is going to show up. A 50 lot is going to show up. And so, like, some of these things, I think it's easy to see sort of like whatever it is, what, ghost in the dark, I don't know, whatever. There's probably some good saying for that, but I think that's probably like the inverse mindset, if you will, in doing that sort of like market play by play, either cheering for or anti sweating your position, is dangerous at best. To get back to the main question, sorry.
Well, if I could take a guess, it sounds like for you, it's, if you're in that zone, you're not innovating.
No.
All of your decisions have precedence.
That's like 100% what's going to be my answer here is one, preparation. You've come to the market, you're ready, you have your areas of interest. I mean, really, whatever your setup is. If your setup's mechanical, you really don't need to do much preparation because it's just like, does this happen? Like a rotation-based setup or whatever, price action-based setup. Like, you're just kind of waiting. I only trade during this time or whatever. If you're more of like a level sort of like intraday discretionary type trader, one, you can come to the market, 2 minutes before it opens, you can lick your finger and, wait for a fucking, wait for a bid to come in and be like, oh, look, whatever. I saw this, this, and this. And to some people, that's a very successful way to do it. For me, it's about like, I like to look at the market at the evening time. I like to look at it in the morning, before I get the kids kind of going off to their things. Like, I like to get up early, have a little coffee and some nicotine and then come and like see, okay, what did the Euro market do? What did the Asia market do since I stopped looking at it? Where are the areas of interest and are they going to hold these for the next, 2.5 hours? Usually I'm up at like 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m. What are they going to do for the next 2.5 hours till the open? And like, and then I come back, 45 minutes before the open and go, okay, what did they do? And especially if there was a good setup, right? I'm potentially in a trade, blah, blah, blah. But I'm prepared. I know where my areas of interest are. Did they change? And I think that's a big thing too. Like, you can do work in the evening time. You come back in the morning, it's shot. You can do work at 6 a.m., you come back an hour later and it's shot, especially on a data day, right? Like, and that's the worst, but it just happens, right? Like, you come in, you look at the market, here's where I think they might play into, whatever, NFP. NFP completely nukes all your work. You have to go look at where we're at now, but hopefully we were there, whatever, some reference point. You can go look at your notes. Okay, last time we were in this area, blah, blah, blah. But the whole point is, there's a process to it, right? Like, you, when the bell rings at 8:30, within, some level of confidence, like, okay, we're, relatively close to this setup. We're relatively close to this setup. This is within range today. This is within range today. If buyers can accomplish what I believe their goal is, they should go here. If sellers can accomplish their goal, I think they should go here. Or more importantly, and I think like this was a big one for me this week, you have sort of this like battle between buy side A plus setups and sell side A plus setups. Mm. And I spent a lot of time reflecting this week on what do you do? Like, do I have a good answer for when I like longs and shorts? Like, and I hate that. Like, I'm to my grave with this. Like, the hardest trade in trading is closing a great trade for what could be a good trade. It's so hard, like 39 or whatever it was, the high today. Like, I love that short. It was really hard to close with the long and not just get short. If it like to the point, like if it wasn't Friday, I probably would have just got short. That is a very difficult trade. It is very difficult to be long in the open, take profit, recognize the shift and get short. That is the hardest trade in trading. And so this week for me was very difficult because there was a lot of A plus longs staring A plus shorts right in the face, especially like Monday, Tuesday into somewhat of Wednesday. Like, I actually faded the Leroy on Monday and tried a couple of like key shorts. Didn't get like blown out on anything, but like certainly didn't take 200 and something points straight up from the open. Same setup we saw today. It went 200 points up. So again, like that preparation, but also sort of identifying that change, right? Like, when the bell rings, have I adjusted to all of the different things that came into that? And like, when you are kind of in that, like, you watched what they did yesterday. You know what they did overnight. You know what they did in the morning. You have like some A-plus setups into the open and like it's clarity. And then I think, again, to your point, when the setups are firing, a lot of times too, what you'll see is like, it'll be like bullish setup meets bullish setup. And like, I call them combo trades. It'll be like, we break the OR in a no tick and then it picks up the Leroy and then it pulls back into a buy side trend break. It, like, it's just like this like beautiful sort of dance of like, okay, and then if they trade below and they peak and fail, you know, this like fail to lose at like 72 and then boom, and then they pick up the lead. Like, you get these like moments where it's like, you know, whatever, this like luck meets preparation sort of like moment, right? Like, that's the definition of luck, where it's like the market just kind of agrees with your analysis. And it's kind of just like doing this ebb and flow between like versions of work that like you are ready for and prepared. It makes it this like you were saying, like when you're coding in the zone, like it's like the Matrix is kind of doing this thing,
right?
You know, and it's like
redhead on,
yeah was it like did you see the girl in the red dress? Like
yeah.
You know, so I think like for me it's probably just more those serendipitous moments where the preparation just happens to align with the like with the movements of the market that day. And it's like A plus setup meets A plus setup meets A plus setup. And they're working in the version that like I've prepared for, right? Like, so that's, you know, it's like everybody has a plan to get punched in the face. You don't really need a plan if your plan was I got long and it did 146 point rotation out of the open. Like, your plan is to just fucking not hit a button. Right. Like,
right. Sit on your hands.
Yeah. So it's really easy to be in the Matrix when your plan was to get long in the open and it goes 100 and something points straight up. And sometimes you just like that just happens. And, you know, I mean, is it one part like that and one part you were just prepared for all of these things? It's kind of hard to say, but I do agree that there's like these points where you're like, okay, like you're doing the fucking market commentary, you're anti-sweating your position and all the things that you do. And like the down rotation today, I was watching, I was like, man, I'm so glad I covered this thing. Because I'm watching these guys go, I'm like, watch it, dude. The pop, the first buy pop was like 30 points. The next one was 22. The next one was 26. I'm like, oh, they're just smacking these guys. Like,
oh, yeah.
I would have given back 75% of my position to break even. 100%. If not, gotten blown on a few ads. You know, so again, like, but that was a read. Whatever they were doing up at the top, man, I was telling you, it's because I was ready to short that area, but I was long and looking for the expectancy. And then when I saw what I would have like entered for on a trade, I was like, see ya, like again, ripcord moment. But you know, again, like Matrix theme type moment or like that, like, you know, like you're in the zone, whatever you want to call it. I think it's cored in good preparation and knowing what your setups are. And it's just like this like serendipitous moment where the market just happens, like your setup just hit, right? Like you picked your levels for the day and they're just banging, right? Like you just like did good work today. And when you're in the zone and you're doing good work, right? When you're hitting well, when you're batting well, the confidence is high, you're reading the market. I think that brings the elevation to like other reads, like the order flow or like watching the rotations, or like you're just hyper focused on like watching the player at XYZ price. Like you're just in the zone. You're aware, you're scanning your charts. You're like, oh wow, look at this. Like we've got a cluster over here. Oh wow, look at the 4 hours doing this, the 1 hour's doing. Like you're just like, you're a little bit more focused. You're a little bit more in the zone. And it's because you're comfortable and confident because like you're in a trade that's like doing what it's supposed to do perfectly. And I think that's like, for me, it's when the work that you've done and the setups that you've built and sort of like cultivated are doing what they're supposed to do and what you saw them do when you built the idea, when you added it to your playbook, it's really easy to go focus on the other shit, because it's like, okay, the pivot was the OR high. I mean, right. Fuck, it doesn't like when the Leroy is the OR high, it doesn't take a lot to fucking figure out that I'm just going to be long through the opening range high. And I know it's supposed to go 75 points. I know the stats are it. I know that it's 350. I know that there was an open drive zone that was like at 39, and they're probably going to pop a bunch of stops, and it's going to take me right up to that cluster, right up to the Leroy expectancy. And like, I can just start watching everything else and preparing for all of these other things. And I think that's like that confidence in what you're already doing and ability to free your mind to go look at the other things that like you probably should be able to do. That's doing this, like, you know, this freedom of like,
you don't have to worry about your trade anymore now.
Yeah. Am I going to get my ass handed to me on this thing? You're like, no, dude, I did it. I did it. And I know I did it. And now it's just like, here's my target. Here's my stop. Let's watch what the market's really doing. Like with that hyper focus that like it probably does deserve at all times, or that confidence that it does, but the market doesn't always make it that easy. And I mean, that's sort of the hard part of it is like, sometimes they like do that pot of water trade. We talked about, like, sometimes they make it very difficult. They test your patience. They almost come and take your stop loss. They make you sweat a little bit. A big seller steps in, you see a liquidation, but then it just rips right back up. You know, I mean, there's just all of these things that the market can do in its normal ebb and flow that just don't make the easy matrix A plus version of your setup. And when it's doing what it's exactly supposed to do, it's easy to be on your game, right? Like,
right.
And so, you know, again, I think it's like this mix of all of those things. So it's like one part luck, one part variance, like a big part of preparation. And then, like, you know, obviously knowing what else to be looking at while you can take your focus off of the actual sort of like fear of losing, fear of winning, and more just like observations of the market. Like you were saying, Baba, like we all can do the commentary on our trades as it's happening. It's a matter of like, in the back of your mind, are you doing it because you think your trade's going to lose? Or are you doing it just to sort of like be hyper focused and be ready? Or are you doing it because you want your trade to win because you need it to win for some other, you know, perverse reason? When none of those side factors matter is probably when we're in that, like, whatever, the horse blinders, the master of the markets, whatever it's called.
Master trader mindset.
Master trader mindset. I'm sorry to.
I didn't think it up, okay? It's his language. It's Rich's language. It's his deal. It's his exercise.
No, I know. And I'm not at all taking a shot at Rich. I just can't remember it. I hadn't heard it before today. So I was like, man, I'm master trader. I don't know about that.
All right, look. Oh.
We need to move on to good, bad, and ugly before we go too long here. If you got something you want to throw in there, Baba, go ahead.
Yeah, just make it quick. You can cut it if you need to, but I think the ability, like Flaherty, I thought we've talked a lot the last couple of weeks, and we did a whole podcast about this. But the thing today that was so interesting is at the earlier in the market, I thought, are they going to make it this easy? Like pre-market, I thought, are they going to make it this easy on Friday?
I was long 48. Were you long 48?
Yeah, something like that. Let me look. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that?
I cut it before the open. I thought there's no way.
Oh yeah. I was long down there. Yeah. Same, probably same setup. Yeah. That was my entry. And then I had an ad after that. So I had an entry on the almost setup. And then I had an ad when it like fires, like when we were boom, boom, there I go. All right. And I thought, are they going to make it this easy? And then here's the other thing. I immediately thought, like, I didn't go look at notes. I mean, it's locked. I was like, well, I know the expectancy of this trade. Like, I know the percentage. I literally ran, this goes to here this percentage of the time. So I scale some there. And then I'm like, sheesh, we're still, like, absolutely ripping. And then I thought to myself, okay, well, here we go. You know, it's going to be an easy day. Obviously, we got all that off. But then the next part to your point about like not sweating the trade, but knowing the things to look at, but then also not being so wrapped up in like, I need this to work, or I want this to work, or I don't want to take a stop, or I don't want to look stupid. It was just hyper-focused on what's unfolding. Is I also know the expectancy when we don't do what I like, when we don't go take that 48, and then mm-hmm. we don't even go back and even challenge that. Like, so if I were in a short from there, I know that that trade only goes or typically goes this far, and that it's atypical for it to go to this spot. And so what you can either I was thinking, well, the trade, and this is the thing with stats, the trade is not to fade that because the percentage is, well, it's only 30% of the time it goes that far. Like when we get to a certain point, and I've ran all these numbers, like, when you get deep in this trade, the likelihood that it goes to the random reaches of like what you've tested goes, it's like there's not a lot of degradation at that point. It's gone so far that there, that like it's that 4%. It drops from 100 points to 130 or whatever. It's 4% like EV decay.
Yeah.
So when that, and that was the part that I was like, oh, well then we short this. It was so easy. It wasn't a debate. It wasn't whatever. First, like, we get a short setup, we take that, because this trade now has entered into another leg of like what I know is most likely. And we have all these targets down here, blah, blah, blah. And it was so seamless, I think. And that, to your point on the, you were talking about your setups and knowing your prep work and all that. If you're familiar with all of, like, if you're really familiar with your work, I think that kind of stuff starts to be a lot easier. You're not like, sellers, time to sell. It's not like that, you know?
Yeah, you become comfortable in your skin sitting in your trade. Again, yeah. like what we talked about last week, like, I know we need to move on, but we talked about like the back test versus the sitting in your chair. Mm-hmm. The sitting in your chair is the hard part once you kind of know what your process is and it's defined and blah, 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 the stats, whatever. But all of the stuff that happens between entry and exit becomes the hard part. And honestly, like, if you just walked away, if you weren't watching the market, if you weren't doing commentary, like if it was all mechanical, you know, one, you wouldn't have to sit here.
I would have been left at the altar with too many contracts at 48.
I would have been left at the altar. For sure I would have been left at the altar. Six people got filled up there.
But yes, to your point, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, it just becomes difficult. So good, bad, and ugly. Right.
Let's hit it.
All right. Who wants to go first?
What are we talking? What are we doing? Good, bad, ugly?
What was good about your week? What was bad about your week? What was ugly? You don't have to have one of each. You can, but yeah.
All right. I'll go. Bad, I would say the struggles Monday, Tuesday. Into Wednesday a little bit, but again, that like sort of A-plus longs versus A-plus shorts, you know, said another way, 1 hour, 4 hour versus daily, weekly. And sort of this like re-entry into daily distribution balance. It's just that it, for the way I look at all of this stuff, it's challenging because, I mean, predominantly trend following, and you have a very bullish 1 hour and 4 hour pop bear or pop consolidation, pop bull flag, pop bull flag, pop pattern. And like, I don't like fading that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also pulling into some like pretty big levels. So it's just like this interesting thing, because I don't like to be long into resistance. I fucking hate longing right into resistance. It's like the worst. It's the worst setup. And Monday was exactly that. Like, and it was a Leroy into resistance. I've seen these things fail epically, and it just ripped 200 points. And for me, this will go into that. So bad was Monday through like Wednesday was like, like, which way do I weight this coin? Like, wasn't really overly excited about like any of the setups.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to pick something, right? Like, and then into the ugly was, do you have to pick something? And really just kind of diving into deep into this conversation, you know, especially with some of the things that I'm working on and like the places that I'm trying to get to. You know, what if the answer is like, I don't want to trade today, this market? Like, is that okay? Or like, I don't like longs, I don't like shorts. And being okay with that, or is it a cope? Is it, you know, what is that? Because I didn't have an answer. And so I weighted my coin to the high time frame just because of, you know, one, I'm more comfortable on the short side. Two, I don't like longing into resistance. And there's nothing but resistance from here to like, you know, basically like 500. Every 20 mm-hmm. points, I guarantee you somebody has a level anywhere in any mode of work, like every 20 points up here, because there's just so much. There's swing highs and there's hold zones and there's delta and there's guys who got ripped on the way back. It's just like there's so much up here. I hate being long into all that stuff. And I just know for me, I'm more prone to make mistakes if I get long into resistance versus if I get short and the risk reward on the short is that we have a liquidation break. So I fight for the liquidation break cautiously. I pick my spots, be a little bit more surgical when I have this like versus thing. But I would say the ugly is like, I don't have, if I'm being truly honest, I don't have a process-based answer for what do I do when, you know, this time frame is giving me A-plus setups versus this time giving me A-plus setups. And I know that this time frame is supposed to be stronger. But this time frame is pretty damn strong right now too. And I don't have that great answer. And you know, maybe the answer is you should really only be trading when they're all doing sort of this together, which is the easy version of it. But
was it Crudelli or was it Pax who was tweeting at the beginning of this week about two-way tape action and not wanting to trade until he saw a clear winner? It was one of those two. It's kind of the same thing that you're saying. I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something they would absolutely say too. And I mean, that's just like, I don't have anything good for the answer. And I don't like that, right? Like, yeah. I don't like that. So I'm going to just call that the ugly, that I just like, I know I need to do more work on like when this dynamic comes up, because the way I follow trend, like this pattern happens enough that I should have a way to deal with it. And I don't.
Who do you think would have a good answer or an answer you'd respect?
Man,
we can talk after the show.
Yeah, give it some thought.
I could give a handful of answers. I don't want to put any of them on blast, but
no, I'm just thinking if I can get another somebody on here, maybe we can pick their brain on that. That sounds like a fantastic topic.
Yeah, I mean, anybody trend following, I think, would be somebody who I would be interested in, like multi-time frame trend following people. But, you know, again, that's my ugly. The good, I would say, would just be, you know, just like, again, like dealing with sort of like this if-then week, you know, relatively good week. And, you know, I mean, again, when there's not a bunch of A-plus setups, I have decision fatigue. I cannot be in and out of this market. I did a really good job. I probably lost more money playing poker than I did in the market because I went, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go play some cards. Because like, you know, again, like you see that Gaussian profile and it's like 9:30 and we've done 100 points and, you know, it's just like, I'm good. This is just, it's not my market. It's not where my strengths are. And I know my setups, for the most part, have an expectancy like a little bit outside of what our range is. I mean, the 5-day ATR went from like 350 to like 260. I mean, that's pretty significant. We're in contraction for sure. So I think the good would be just sort of adjusting to this.
That's awesome, though. That's a great good. And it's always good when your bads don't end up wiping out your goods for the week. Baba, you want to give it a shot or should I go?
Yeah, I can go. Let's see. The bad for the week was I ran a bunch of stats and got really confused because I had screwed up one of my execution charts and the data was like, I was like, what is going on? None of these numbers make sense anymore. And I'm trying to like, I mean, press into different products and I got a lot to do still. Things are like the base work is good, but anyway, so I spent like blocked off 2.5 hours to work on that one night. And, I messaged Flair and was, or maybe you, I can't remember. And I was like, well, I just wasted 2.5 hours because all this testing was on the wrong. It was waste. So that was pretty bad. The ugly was because of some of that, some of what I was looking at was a little bit skewed. And it was like a decent day, decent early morning setup. And then there was one day where I just traded, like I was already up on a really good trade. And then I ended up like just putting on small size and giving like a bunch of trades a shot, probably like five. That were all, I was like, oh, this will be the one that bangs, like trying to kind of catch that, the short. I really thought this week that we would see some type of
possible unwind.
Yeah. And you know, so it's like, as soon as my work gave me a glimpse of a short, I was like, oh, let's give it a shot that day. That was the ugly, I guess. That was the bad and ugly. The good actually will probably surprise you. The good was that there was a day that was that day when I was doing that. And you were like, hey man, are you okay? Or you asked me something I like did, that. Yep. Are you doing okay? Are you good?
You were being real quiet that day, which was out of character.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was staring at looking at the chart, like what the freak is going on? I was like so confused. I was sitting here like, what the freak am I doing? I'm this is not making any sense. And like, I shouldn't be having this many signal, like this many setups fire. And God, if they're all firing, I surely shouldn't be, they shouldn't all be losing. Like, I mean, we're in the right. real tails of the distribution based on what I've got. So what have I screwed up here? And I think the good is that there's some OGs in our room, people that have been around for a while, and they really care about the other people not sabotaging their selves to the point where they'll say in a kind way, like, hey man, are you good? Or mm-hmm. like, hey, it's like, you know, are you blowing your wad here on this day, you know? And I think that's like the kind of people you want to, like, that's the kind of people you want to go to this war with every day, is the kind of people who would say something if they thought that doesn't look like the way he would normally do this. And that's happened, I think, twice in the year almost, or, you know, 10, whatever long that we've been trading together, two or three times you've done that for me.
I know you've done it for me. I've always appreciated it.
Yeah. And I just thought that's really good. Like, that is a really good thing to have. And, I don't know that there's a lot of, I don't know. I think it's let's say it a different way. That's a really valuable fabric of the community of traders that we hang out with every day, is that type of honesty and that type of, yeah, like that's a characteristic that's really positive.
It's almost comforting to know that you've got somebody that if I can't see it, somebody else is going to see it, and I have faith that they're going to speak up. And
yeah, and it's not like I
try to snap me out of it.
Yeah, it's not like I go in every day and think I can be as foolish as I want, and Kyle will be there for me. But at the same time, when I'm looking at the charts with a furrowed brow, trying to figure out, like, and that bled over into the back testing, which bled over into me figuring out that I had linked these charts wrong and this was totally screwed up, which is a good problem. I mean, that was a good thing, right? So that was good. I mean, obviously today was good. Today was a good day. It was a real good day. But I think the bigger win for the week, honestly, for me was like, man, we got a really good crew of people.
I fucking love that, man. It makes my heart swell.
Oh, well, don't let it swell too much. I hear that's bad. Myocarditis or something like that. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, is that what killed the Grinch?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see here.
What about you, man?
Don't worry, Bear. I'll pimp M, period. I'll start with the bad and uglies because they're kind of similar to Flaherty's, or at least the ugly is. My Tuesday just all around wasn't that great. I got chopped to pieces trying to catch something that just looked like it was going to happen that never did. And when it finally did sell off, I did catch a really nice piece of that, a nice chunk of that, but too much damage had been done because I couldn't sit on my hands and wait for the A plus setup that day. So I did find, while going through that experience, specifically that Tuesday, some new ideas that now I've got something that for the rest of the week that I'm like looking at as like just another thing to like distract me. Not something that I'm making decisions off of, but it's something that I've seen that, like, you know what, if I don't see this happen too, then maybe I don't want to take that trade, like volume decreasing into successive lows. And that's actually, I think, saved me from doing some stupid things the rest of this week. So I'm going to continue leaning in and developing that idea and see if maybe there's a setup that kind of forms out of it too. The bad would be on Tuesday, there was an outage of Top Step X. That outage, I think, also didn't help me on Tuesday with the fact that I wanted to get long right when that outage happened. Yeah.
Isn't it that way?
So the bad is that I got five long micros during that outage when it wasn't taking my orders. When I logged back in, I saw it filled me five times at like the 60s or some not a great spot. And knowing that it was Top Step X and they've had precedence for this in the past where they'll wipe losing trades, I decided that I was just going to let it ride and take it off at the end of day. And it actually ended up working out for me. I think that was Wednesday, actually, not Tuesday.
Well, you're saying that's a bad because, just to clarify, the habit, like, of if you were honing the habit of holding hope,
yeah,
that would be a real bad thing. We know that's not how you trade currently, but
right,
but yeah, I understand. Yeah. That being a bad, but it really worked out, and that's great.
It's bad because it reinforces that. Yeah, it's not bad because of what happened. It's bad because I had five positions on I didn't mean to take at a spot I didn't want, and I didn't flatten it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I gambled on the chance that Top Step was gonna reverse those, which I know that they've done in the past. So maybe you can say it was a smart kind of,
maybe it was cerebral,
like a free ride kind of thing. Yeah. But I don't like it reinforcing bad habits either. Let's see. The good, though, the good, and I was messaging Bob about this, is the Trading Friday. Like, I felt like I was stepping into that master trader mindset. I felt like I was in that zone. I was seeing the reads. But the part that it really, like, made me feel great about the day was when, independent of seeing your fills, because you weren't showing your fills in the stream, you weren't calling out any trades. As we're reviewing them, you're showing me, like, your entries, and I'm like, oh, I took that one. Oh, I took that one. Like, we had almost the exact same entries and the exact same targets, and that made me feel like, damn, I might be figuring this shit out finally.
I think you're well on your way to figuring this shit out. That's for sure. Yeah, that was hilarious. When we sent some screenshots back and forth today, that was freaking funny. And the other thing is, I would assume that probably like a mode of work that you put time into gave you confluence and confidence to pull the trigger.
I was wanting to short, like what Flary was talking about, I don't have the stats on it to take the trade, but I was looking at it thinking, like, I don't like the sellers are holding them here. The bulls are losing steam. They're not pushing as aggressively. Like, this just doesn't look good.
Well, so when what you have precedent for happening, mm-hmm, to bring a trade to termination doesn't happen how and when it should, that is informative.
Yep.
And so, you know, I mean, dude, I wanted 48 or 50 or 50, 75 or whatever it was to sweep, just like probably every other human that is like aggressively trading. Like, man, I wanted that trade. But, you know, you don't always get what you want. But yeah, great trading today, dude. You did kill it.
Yeah, the only downside is I felt like I was trading a little bit scared. Couldn't get more than 2 micros on at any position when I want to be taking 3 to 5. But, you know, it was a Friday. I'm not going to judge myself too hard on that.
No, man. No. Yeah.
All right. Let's get some bold predictions in. Let's wrap this show so we play some poker. I don't know. We got CPI, PPI coming up next week. Bunch of Fed speakers. I don't know. What do you guys want to predict here? Anything market related or not?
Will the T-Wolves win the NBA championship?
Oh, who are they playing?
They're on their way. They're well on their way to... they're trying to beat the Thunder, right? No, I'm kidding. I don't know about it. I don't follow the NBA. I just know the Wolves are doing well. I don't know. Are we doing market-based stuff? What are we doing?
No, you can do the Wolves, man. That's your home team. I like a good playoff prediction.
Do they move to the? Do the Wolves make the finals? Does that happen next week? I don't even fucking know.
I think we're second round.
Well, why don't we say? Why don't we pick them, dude?
All right,
we just take the Wolves.
How about everybody pick a team to advance?
Yeah, so we're in some. We've got a bunch of active series right now.
Yeah, we're far enough in. I'll take the Wolves. I'll take the Wolves. Wolves to win the W, or to win the WNBA, to win the NBA championship. Yeah, the WNBA.
To score a goal basket unit.
Yeah, one basket unit.
All right, let me look and see who's still in this thing. I have no fucking idea. PS is picking the Knicks. We'll give you that one, PS. I'll write you down.
PS is taking the Knicks. Get out of here, PS.
Hey, those New York fans need some.
Go down to the bodega, get yourself something to smoke, because that shit ain't happening.
You know, text us some love. Mavericks haven't done anything fun in a while. That seems bold, right?
Who's freaking still in it, dude?
Thunder, Mavs, Celtics, Cavaliers.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking the even though I guess LeBron doesn't play for them, but give me the Cavaliers, dude.
I was kind of pick the Cavs, too. I kind of have a soft spot for Cleveland. Poor guys deserve something.
Go Ohio. That's what I say.
What did I say? Mavericks? What was I thinking? I fucking hate the Mavs. Oh, whatever. I'll take them. All right. Mavs.
Sweet.
Win.
Love it.
All right.
P.S. You got the Knicks. All right. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Flary, Baba Yaga, for joining us tonight. Everyone listening who stuck out to the end. God damn it. ESPN playing fucking basketball highlights in the background of my ears. remember to show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Remember to check out the combined Discord where you can trade Friday M periods with us, or you can yell at Baba to fix his audio while he trades live. Be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully more impressive than our prediction track record. But till that day, like, share, subscribe. You can even do it in any order you please. Just have a great week.
And join us for the M period challenge.
M period challenge every Friday. And if you win, what do they get, Baba?
If you're not in the Discord, get a month of Vanta for free.
And that gets you access to early release podcast episodes.
That's too. Right.
Dang, let's go.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.